Welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with your host, Dr. Kate. This is where your journey to burnout recovery starts. Are you feeling overwhelmed or like work has become unmanageable? Join me and my guests for open and honest conversations about burnout recovery from the comfort of the front porch. I am here to help you build your resilience and prepare you for burnout in a whole new way through a variety of perspectives. Move past the idea that burnout can only be addressed by avoidance and work to integrate recovery into your daily life. Relax, take a breath. The From Burnout to Recovery Show starts now. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio and member of the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. I'm your host, Dr. Kate, and I am excited, as always, to welcome you to the show today. As you are enjoying the show, remember to hit that subscribe button and follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram. Today, we are going to be joined by our guest, Nicole Song. I know that listeners will relate to her story and burning out from not one, but two careers, journalism and yoga. And I am very interested to hear more about the second one and burning out from yoga. Because when I first saw that, I will admit that it seemed a little out of alignment, but it just really goes to show that burnout truly can come from anything or any experience. Nicole Song, best-selling author of 24 Ways to Move More in America's Work-Life Balance Coach, helps high achievers use movement to connect themselves to their purpose. The founder of the Nicole Song Coaching, she reached hundreds of thousands of readers as the former Fit for Life columnist for the Seattle Times. She is the creator of the Clear Calling Method that helps women create true work-life balance to discover their calling. She is an award-winning journalist and for 3 years taught yoga at the White House Easter Egg Roll during the Obama administration. She has been featured on New Day, NW, on King 5 TV in Seattle, in the Seattle Times, and reached thousands of people as a speaker with the Seattle Public Library, Elliott Bay Bookstore, and the King County Library System. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me here, Dr. Kate. It's so great to be here with you.
Yeah, well, I am so excited to hear more from you, and I know that our listeners are going to love hearing more about you as well. And so, Nicole, to get us started, if you would please share a little more about yourself, your burnout experience, and your journey to recovery.
Sure. Well, it's interesting because when I started and I was in my 20s and in a career and a job, I really didn't think about burnout. And I felt like it wasn't really in the conversation that we had. And it was interesting now to reflect back on that era and to see how it was inevitable. You know, like it was such an intense job that I had. I was a journalist. I was in a newsroom. The pace is super fast. You're dealing with a lot of incoming information all the time. And this was even pre-social media being a huge thing. So I'm not surprised at all looking back that I was on that pathway to burnout. You know, talking to my editors at 8, 9 p.m. at night, really getting stressed out over stories all the time. But my peak moment really came actually from a very sudden event. So I was pulled onto a big series about Catholic sex abuse, and I was working with victims. And so as you can imagine, the topic itself is really difficult. And I was getting really close to these families. And we put out a really big story, and it did great. It won a bunch of awards, and it did so well. And then a few months after it came out, one of my sources committed suicide. And it was just, as you can imagine, so, so intense. And I was in my 20s, and I had never experienced anything like that before. And in that moment, and you know, it's one of those things reflecting on it, I'm like, that is so, like, no wonder. Like, I can't even really believe looking back on it that I continued in journalism for as long as I did. Really at that moment, it was peak, like, I can't do this. Like, this is not a job. This is not worth it. Like, there's nothing in this world that's really worth experiencing this level of intensity and stress and grief and all of these really complicated emotions that came up for me at the time. So when I look back on it, you know, like I couldn't go to work the next day. It was really, really hard. And I was still expected actually to keep trucking on and keep going and writing the stories and doing all the work at that time. And I don't really blame anybody for that. It was the nature of what we were doing. But it was a very, very challenging moment in my life. And I kind of went, I would say I didn't recover that well at that time. I just sort of switched gears. Like my way of trying to recover was change what I was covering. And I ended up covering politics. I tried moving into features. I started covering what they would consider something a little bit softer in the news area. Mm-hmm. But really this whole, that whole time, I was never really that happy with the environment, with the work and the intensity of the pace. So that was kind of the low moment lasted a while is what I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was really the first one.
Yeah. Wow. I think it's so, you know, you brought up something that I think a lot of people struggle with when it comes to admitting their burnout or even recognizing their burnout. And that is like the push through kind of concept, right? Or the feeling that, well, this is the career track I chose. So we push through and that's what we do. That's what the expectation is. And in those kinds of things. So when you were coming out of at least that first experience, what were some things or recognition that came up for you that you're like, I need to do something different now?
Yeah. And it's interesting because I really, journalism was a career where you're like, oh, I'm in it for 30 years. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to stay here. And I've got this whole trajectory that I was following. And a lot of my clients go through that too. Like they're in a system where, you know, they're on a template. They're like, okay, you climb the ladder and then you're climbing the ladder and you're actually getting really successful. Because the thing that was funny about this is I was really successful in the journalism world at this time. And I was like, so fully, like, I can't handle this life and this work. And going into cover politics was even worse. Like I was working even more hours at that point. So I decided to switch within journalism and I went into that features area and I started to cover entertainment and I covered relationships and things like that. And that was way more fun for me for a period. But really the recovery came when I actually switched gigs. So like I moved out of the hard news side into the softer features area. But the thing that actually changed everything for me was starting to do yoga mm-hmm. and starting to practice and starting to get connected to myself. And it was the one place where I really could do something for me every day. I could feel really settled by the end of class. I could not be worrying about if I made any errors in stories. I could not be worrying about if my editors had called me while I was in yoga. And that was really, for me, the first step is like really getting connected to myself physically is how I started to move through that. And then I started to see a new pathway forward and ultimately actually ended up leaving journalism to teach yoga full time.
Yeah. I think that is amazing, that connection in that piece. And I think it talks to, you know, that search for purpose that we often have in, you know, and sometimes that changes within our career path and those kinds of things. Often it changes within our career path. We may have started something thinking this is it. I will do this for 30 years, as you mentioned. And then somewhere along the way, you're like, I'm not quite connecting to this in the way that I used to. And then finding that new connection in yoga, I think is amazing. Now, I had mentioned when I introduced you that you had also burned out from the yoga space. So I'm really intrigued to hear a little bit more about that.
Well, the funny thing is you do one thing and then you go, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a yoga teacher and it's going to be great. And then I totally kind of applied that same mentality to my yoga career. Mm-hmm. And at one point I had three jobs. I was working for a yoga company. I was teaching 10 to 12 yoga classes a week. And then I was also at that time writing my fitness column for the Seattle Times. I was working a lot. I was working like 60 hours a week. Yeah. And again, it was like that same, I would say I didn't burn out the same way I did in journalism, but I was working so hard, not really making a ton of money and feeling very like stressed around what I really wanted to be doing. And I love that you talked about purpose because what was coming up for me at that point in my life is like, well, I actually really want to be writing a book. Mm-hmm. And so part of what was going on, I was like, and there is no way I cannot add like a fourth job to the jobs that I already have. And I was already on the pathway of feeling like totally overwhelmed by all the jobs that I did have. So I got really clear and I was like, okay, I heard the call. Like my purpose call was starting to show up as like, it's time for you to go write a book. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't know how to do it. Like I really was like, I don't have space for this. And when I would really listen to myself and I started to be much more tuned into myself, I realized I needed to quit the big yoga company job. It was also a lot of security for me. It was my healthcare. It was the main source of my income. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of thing where though, if I had gone, the one pattern I did change at that moment was to quit that yoga company job, trust myself, and then say, okay, now it's time for me to go write a book. And I really, it's interesting because like that's the one pattern I did change, even though I had fully maxed myself out again. And I think this happens for a lot of people. And I see this with people that I work with too, where they say, okay, I'm super maxed out on this corporate job and I'm totally burned out. Then they apply that same mentality to the career switch. And I'm like, yes, and we're not trying to do that, right? We're trying to change our mentality. And I did, at least I was able to kind of catch myself there and say, okay, you're not going to add a fourth job. You're actually going to quit one of the jobs that is too much for you, that is actually taking you into burnout. Let go of that job and then really start to commit to a life where I feel on purpose and really on track. And that's what led me to my first two books, Yoga for Hikers and Yoga for Climbers.
Yeah. That insight, I think, is so fantastic to hear about in that piece. And I absolutely agree with you that when we experience that burnout, for so many people, the decision is, okay, time, like career transition, this will get me out of this burnout because I'm burning out because of XYZ at this company, not really taking into consideration our own behavior as part of that. And so we do take that maxed out energy often into the new space. And so don't think about that when we go into that new space. Was there anything that came up for you that helped you like achieve that recognition that you needed to take something off your plate before you added another thing?
You know, at that time, I would say what I was finally growing and getting better, I was developing that muscle of learning to trust myself and learning to trust my intuition. And it was really hard for me because there were many times, I would say, in like my journalism career in particular, but even in during the yoga era, where I would override my intuition and I would say, oh, okay, it's okay. Yet overriding my intuition came from like, I don't have enough money, for example, right? Would make me be like, I better hang on to all three jobs because you're just not going to make it. And then in that place, in that phase, I was actually working with one of my key teachers and I was starting to really understand and learn what intuition was about. And it's something I work a lot with my women, like with the women who are my clients, because lack of trust is the biggest reason we burn out. They spend all their time questioning themselves, doubting their decisions, not sure about it. And that energy is so overwhelming that you just can't even balance yourself if you're spending all day doubting what you did all day. And if you're doing that, and these are like really smart women with big jobs, they have big teams, but then they're questioning themselves. And that energy, I think a lot of women don't realize like that's what's burning them out. It's not the actual level of their job that's happening. And so for myself at that time, I was really learning to get into trust. And when I started to realize, I was like, well, Nicole, you're just going to have to trust yourself. You're going to have to trust yourself that you're going to leave this big job. And you have to trust yourself that you're going to get a contract, even though I didn't have a book contract. I didn't have an agent. I didn't even have really a book idea, right? And so I had to really take this huge leap of faith and say, all right, I'm going to quit that job. I'm going to ramp up the yoga and I'm going to see what happened. And this part of the story is always kind of funny. I was like taking memoir writing classes. I was like on the internet looking for how do you write a book? Like I really had no idea what I was doing. And then three months later, Google. Yeah, totally. Which is, yeah, a very difficult way to write a book. But 3 months later, I got an email from a local publisher who had read my column and they said, hey, Nicole, it's so funny. We're looking for a yoga author. Are you interested? And I actually was like, no, I'm not interested. I'm going to write a memoir. But fortunately, people in my life said, hey, Nicole, you wanted a book deal, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, you're right. I did. So anyway, so I ended up going on to write my first two books from there. But that is really, I think the biggest thing is like when you're burned out and you're questioning yourself and you're in that doubt and fear all the time, it's very difficult to listen to your intuition. And so when you start to really realize you're doing all those things mentally and that internal dialogue is so harsh and the inner critic is just going bananas, for you to start to be like, oh, like what can I start to do for myself to just bring a little bit of ease mentally, start to connect to my body, right? Like that's where yoga was the beginning phase of that for me. And then to learn to trust myself so that I can make decisions that might seem a little bit out there. It might've seemed like actually the pathway to more burnout, to leave a job that was a lot of security, to go then write this book by the internet that I didn't even know existed, right? And the more I trust myself, the more I actually am able to really balance a lot of really big things in my life and in my world with a lot more ease and space. Does that make sense? And so it's not so much around, it's not even like, because sometimes people are like, how do you must work all the time. And I'm like, I definitely don't. Like, I don't I'm not a work-life balance coach just by name. Like, I really don't work insane hours because it's trust. Like, when I trust myself, like, that's the biggest thing. I am able to balance a whole lot of big things and big projects, and I have lots of help on top of it, but really the trust piece, I think, is the biggest part of it.
I definitely, you know, connected to that piece of the, you know, the intuition and the trust of self. And I was thinking back about, you know, along the ways of my own career and the times that I would feel incredibly overwhelmed and burdened and almost as though, you know, that things just weren't achievable. And I'm recognizing now that it connects a lot to what you said in regard to, it's almost the questioning of everything that was going on, but in a way just experiencing like decision fatigue, right? I would get home at the end of the day and be like, if I have to make another decision, like, even if it had to do with like, what am I feeding myself at the end of the day? Like, it was too much. So I appreciate that you bringing that forward for our listeners so much. If for our audience members, if there was one way that they could like start tapping into their intuition, what would you recommend for them?
You know, I always think of trust as a muscle, and you have to build it every day. And so the biggest thing I see actually for women is that they say they're going to do something for themselves, and then they don't do it. Right. And then they do it day after day.
Yes.
Breaking
that promise constantly. Yes.
Over and over to yourself. And so when you can't even keep your promises to yourself, like, okay, I'm going to take care of myself today. And with my clients, we always work very small increments, 5 to 10 minutes. Like, I don't mean go to the spa all day. Like, that's nice, but like, we all have lives to live. Right. So are you taking 5 to 10 minutes for yourself every day? And one of my clients, we've been in now 2 months, and it's something I've been asking her the whole time. And she's like, finally this week, she's like, Nicole, I moved a meeting and I got on my Peloton. I was like, yes, that is what we're talking about. But it really is that. Like, do you need to move your body more? Do you need a bath at night? Do you need to read a book instead of be on the internet? Like, do those things for yourself. And that's actually, the more you can trust yourself to do really baseline things that help you, the more you're going to start to trust yourself with the bigger things. But you have to build the muscle from a really, you know, like that small incremental place, and then building it to get stronger and stronger, so that when you're confronted with a really big decision, you're like, I do know how to trust myself to do something that matters to me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is so important. So audience members, dear listeners, focus and work on building your trust muscle. And so the next time that you say you're going to take a moment and have a dance party or that self-care activity, follow up and do it. And even if maybe it's for a shorter amount of time than what you were expecting it can do, but actually following up and do that and build that trust muscle. I am so enjoying the insights that you are giving us and audience members. Of course, if you are enjoying these as well, don't forget to subscribe and follow us. And if you think that you know someone who needs to hear this information, be sure to share this podcast with them so that they can listen as well. So before we wrap up with our recovery moment, Nicole, I would love to hear from you. What is one piece of advice, if you could tell our audience members anything, what would that be?
My thing is movement. I'm like, move your body for 5 minutes today and do it every day. Like, do something for yourself. No phones, no devices, like go for a little walk around the block, clear your head. That is going to do so much more for you around burnout or anything than anything else you could possibly do for yourself.
I love that. So your task, your challenge, audience members, is to take yourself for a walk without your device and just be with yourself and your thoughts and tap into that intuition maybe during that time. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can our audience members find out more about you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Nicole TSONG. My website's also NicoleSong.com. And then I have a little freebie for you guys also as well, which is 3 ways movement helps you discover your calling. So if you want to get a little bit more, that's where you can get updates from me. You can also hear more about how I talk about how movement is really going to help you with pursuing your purpose.
Yes. And listeners, you can check out the show notes with all of that information and the links to connect with Nicole and to get her generous freebie that she has offered to us. Once again, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I've learned a lot. I know our audience members will too.
Thank you so much, Kate. Such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I absolutely adored that conversation with Nicole and the insights that she offered us in regard to the connection in passion and, you know, the purpose of our work, and especially that piece when it comes to the trust that we build with our own intuition and how important that is, and how sometimes that decision fatigue almost is what is impacting us in our burnout, and that piece to not take the maxed out lifestyle with us from one job to another, to really assess that when we experience a career transition so that we can go into it in a different, happier, healthier way. Dear listeners, we're going to move into our recovery moment now. And as always, I want to make sure that you are in that safe space to do so. And so if that's not this moment right now, hit pause, come back to me, or listen through it so you know what we are talking about. And today's recovery moment is focused on relaxing, acceptance, breaking habits, and happiness. We're covering a lot in one meditation. So I want to make sure today that you are in a space where you are able to focus without interruptions. So let's begin. For this one, I want you to find a comfortable place to lay down, again, where you will not be disturbed by anyone or anything for the duration of this recovery moment. You want to be relaxed, happy, accepting, break habits, and learn new things. In order to do these things, you must become relaxed and then focus on what it is that you really want and need. It is up to you to dedicate the time and make the necessary efforts towards your goals. So say to yourself, I intend to relax, be accepting of life as it comes, break bad habits, and create new helpful ones. And to be open to learning new things, always being genuinely happy. So get into a very comfortable position and make sure you will not be disturbed. It's easy to relax, even though you might not get the chance too often. So let's take 5 deep breaths together to oxygenate all of our body systems to start. Inhale. And exhale slowly. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and let it go. Breathe in and out. Breathing fully in and let the air escape. Good. Let your eyes wander around, looking at all the things around you without looking too long at anything in particular. Now, without any effort, allow your mind to choose in front of you something to focus on, and do not look away. Begin to blink your eyes, and with each number I say, blink once, continuing to stare at that spot in between numbers. 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and 0. Allow your eyes to gently close, and when you do this, you feel a wave of relaxation sweep over you. Now let your focus move down to your eyes. Just notice how your eyes feel and ask them to relax even more. The little movement in your eyes is called rapid eye movement, and it is completely normal. These small eye movements allow you to feel calm. Notice how the back of your head feels against the surface that it's touching. How heavy does your head feel right now? Let your focus move to your nose and feel the slight sensations of the air moving in and out with your breath. When you breathe in, imagine that you are being filled with calmness. And when you breathe out, imagine your body feels heavy and deeply relaxed. Very good. Now focus on your ears. Notice how they feel and what they hear around you. Try to hear every single noise. When sounds come into your ears, they act as little waves of relaxation, taking you even deeper. Notice the sound of my voice and how soothing and motherly it is. From here forward, you can only hear my voice guiding you. All other sounds passing through only take you deeper into a state of calmness. Now focus on your mouth. How does it feel? And what do you notice? Can you sense the flavor of something you've recently tasted? Perhaps you can imagine biting into a fresh slice of an apple and you notice how your mouth waters. Very good. And move your focus down now to your neck. And if there's any tension, just ask it to release a little more. Notice how your neck feels right now and just feel all of the sensations in your neck. Focus on your shoulders and move your attention slowly going down each arm, down all the way to each fingertip. What are your fingertips touching right now? Feel the sensations on your fingertips. Nice. Allow your focus to go to your chest, relaxing this area as well as your upper back. And if you notice any tension, just ask it nicely to release just a little. Now imagine you are focusing on your heart and feeling it beating strongly, supporting you. Relax your heart and notice how good it feels to do so. And now focus on your lungs. Feel them gently expanding and contracting with your breath, delivering oxygen to your body. Allow your focus to move down your vital organs and digestive system. Just notice your belly and how it feels. Just observe it working and digesting effortlessly for you. Now notice your lower back and how it is pressing against the surface you are on. And if you feel any tension, just say, please relax just a little more. Focus on your pelvis and hips and notice any sensations you are having there. This takes you deeper into a state of relaxation, allowing your focus to move down each leg now, slowly relaxing those as well. Your legs have been taking you so many places over the years, and they deserve to fully relax. Notice this wonderful wave of relaxation moving down to your knees and down your lower legs, all the way to your feet and the very tip of each toe. Good. You are doing so well. Now we are going to take our focus back up the body the same way we came, but this time imagine that in through your toes, you are slowly pulling in your favorite color. Now imagine your favorite color is coming up into your toes and your feet. It goes up your legs, passing through your knees and up into your pelvis and hips. This beautiful color is filling up your digestive system and belly. It fills your vital organs and continues into your lungs. This color is healing you as it fills you. It fills your heart, and you notice how happy you are becoming by doing this. The color goes across your shoulders and down each arm, all the way to the fingertips. Your favorite color is moving up your neck now, relaxing it as it goes. It fills your mouth, ears, nose, eyes, and then quickly fills all the tiny areas of your brain, relaxing it too. It moves all the way to the very top of your head where we began. Good. Notice how completely relaxed your entire body feels right now. I'm going to tell you something very important, and you will deeply hear the words that I have to say to you, and they will affect your life for the better. You are completely aware at every level of your mind, and even though your body may feel asleep, these things that I'm going to tell you will build you the ability to relax, be accepting, break habits, learn new things, and be happy. You want a life that is passionate and fulfilling. You are fully capable of relaxing at any time you need to, allowing for life to come as it does, accepting the moments that are challenging as well as those that are pushing you quickly towards your goals. When you feel a moment of tension come, the way you instantly relax is to take a big, deep breath and focus only on that breath when you do so. Allow nothing else to matter except your breath. And if you do this correctly, you will instantly feel more relaxed. If you need, you can take a few more deep breaths, relaxing you even further. This is the main key for changing your life for the better. Remembering to breathe is the key. Good. In life, if you desire to be fully happy, there's no other option than to accept things as they are. The changes you can make only happen through yourself, acceptance being the primary goal. Imagine that you are in some kind of argument, and if you do not accept the situation as it is, you will be angry, and that clouds your ability to be happy. When you get upset, it is difficult for you to think clearly and accept the situation as it is. Good. Do you see how being accepting of all situations allows for you to be happy? It is very beneficial when you are in a state of relaxation to focus on being happy. Relaxation is the key to everything. Once you fully relax, your mind is clear and your body is calm. With this newfound relaxation technique and the ability to accept things as they come, you are able to learn how to become happier and more relaxed in your life. You know that in order to be fully happy, you must find any possible ways to eliminate bad habits that keep you from being happy. It's easy to notice your bad habits now. And when you do, take a big, deep breath, relaxing, and accept that you are being presented with a moment you can change. Each time that you are triggered towards a bad habit is an opportunity for you to learn to accept the situation as it is. In learning to accept the situation as it is, remember, relaxation is your key, and it allows you to make the necessary behavior change to move your life towards the better. You will do this effortlessly because it is very important to you. And the moment you make this change for the better, you will become a happier person. And lastly, the final step to achieving all of these wonderful things is that from now on, you think, walk, act, and genuinely feel deeply relaxed. In those times when you need to accept the situation as it is easy for you to do so, and you feel how happy you are. Your posture exudes confidence, and your head is held high. From now on, your actions with everyone you encounter are that of complete acceptance. You genuinely accept things as they are, bringing you peace and relaxation. Each time you encounter a bad situation, you feel a deep knowing that there is an opportunity to just let go and accept it as a chance to be happy. Now say to yourself with certainty, I can relax whenever I want by breathing deeply, and I fully accept others and situations as they come. I notice when bad habits arise and will easily change them in order to learn new things and improve my life. All of these things I accomplish make me to be fully happy in my life. Now notice how that feels. You did such a wonderful job today. So let's come back to wakeful awareness and bring back with you all that you learned today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Remember to let go and be happy. Dear listeners, remember that for more recovery moments, you can follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram and subscribe to the From Burnout to Recovery Show YouTube channel. I am so grateful for our guest, Nicole Song. Be sure to reach out to her at her website, NicoleSong.com. And as always, I'm grateful to each of you for listening. Thank you for joining us today on the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Kate, and I wish you peace on your journey. Thank you for joining me on the front porch today. Remember that if you want to assess your current level of burnout, be sure to take the Feeling Crispy quiz on my website, drkatesteiner.com. Be well, my friends. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Kate, on the From Burnout to Recovery Show, where you are starting your journey to burnout recovery. You are invited to join me on the front porch every second and fourth Friday of the month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue growing in resilience and integrating recovery into your daily life. If you would like to learn more or find out how to work with me, visit LiftWellnessConsulting.com.